At last we are complete, Darth. Oh no. You're only a master of steam, Darth.
Oh my god.
I'm just gonna do it one more time.
Holy time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches. Holy time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches.
Yes, if
exactly.
You try to tell me that Dances with Wolves isn't one of the best movies ever made, I will literally punch you in the taint. Hard.
By the way, I loved watching Kim. I said, we're almost ready to record, and then she sat up, and then she was like, oh, never mind. You were shitting me. Welcome
you
to quality time, guys. Back for episode 45, guys. We're at episode 45. Isn't that exciting?
Whoa, wowza.
I know, that's what I said.
Only five more and we can do PCP to celebrate.
Hell yeah. Our year anniversary is only a couple episodes away, guys. It's coming up in like...
It's only like 65 weeks in a year.
Exactly. We're getting very close to our year anniversary, which is coming up. And I'm joined by my name is Eric Woodworth, and I'm also joined by my two co-hosts, Miss Kimberly Ambrose. Kimberly,
hey,
how are you?
Super great.
Great. And my other co-host, my brother, my blood, the man who I played Chinese finger traps with our penises. Give it up for Mr. Jeremy Woodworth.
Yes.
No, that's totally wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who are we joined with on the show tonight?
Yeah. You know, I am this week. I'm Mayor Marion Barry.
Mayor Marion Barry. I like to smoke crack.
Yeah, I like to smoke crack. I'm just kidding. I'm Norm MacDonald being Marion Barry.
I'm so. Norm MacDonald being Marion Barry.
Because I'm like a master of, ventriloquism. Yeah.
So I love that Metallica song, Master of Marion Barry. That was a great one that they did. Guys, we're back for another enthralling episode. And if I could give just a quick little tidbit, guys, in right around the corner in 2 weeks, you can be... at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, watching another Die Laughing Productions coming up on August 11th and 12th at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Come see Sing for Your Life. I'll be there. Mm. Kimberly Ambrose will be there.
Yep.
Tommy Simbazo. Of course, 98 Rock's own Justin Schlegel. Basically holding this ship down. Kimberly.
Isn't Coachella going to be there too?
Yes. The whole show Coachella will actually be
in attendance.
Part of the...
They're bringing the desert to the Comedy Factory.
It's not Mickey Coachella. It's his brother that works at the Comedy Factory.
Chap Coachella.
Bobby Coachella.
Bobby Lane Coachella. Hey, you know, I was growing up with Mickey. The only thing I wanted to do was start a music festival during the murder mystery. So I called this Coachella. Yeah, that was my favorite thing I ever did when I was growing up and everything. And I did all that. Kim, can you tell us some real facts about the show?
It's going to be so fun. So it's a killer karaoke competition. It's kind of like American Idol, but somebody dies fictionally and you get to solve the murder. A couple of audience members will be chosen to play roles in the show. I play Mama July. I am very pregnant with my fifth child or sixth child, something like that.
A very sensual pregnancy.
It's very sensual. You play Billy Ray Cyrus.
As a doula, do you have trouble playing Mama July?
No, actually Schlegel and RJ both told me that by the time the show is done, I develop a waddle when I walk. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It comes naturally.
I want to give birth in a car so I can throw my baby out the window.
Teen Mom, get out of here.
So, August 11th and 12th, Baltimore Comedy Factory.
Three shows.
If you're listening to this and you're not coming, punch yourself in the goddamn
dick.
That's
dumb.
What the hell is wrong
with
you? Golly.
Also, if you love that one, you can see yet another Die Laughing production, Back to the 80s,
what?
Our retro... Yas. Our retrospective fictional murder mystery that will take place Saturday, September 2nd at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. So you have a chance to see two different Die Laughing Productions, two different locations, For the price of, well, two tickets. You're going to have to pay to get in.
Yeah, there's not a buy one, get one. There's no BOGO.
The show. Yeah.
There's no BOGO.
We don't
for
BOGO
this
here.
One.
Yeah.
Unless you answer a trivia question, which is, what is the pre-Teutonic word for the word word? First person with the right answer that inboxes Quality Time's Facebook page, give us a like, answer that question, and we will give you free tickets, not to one show, but to both shows. If
we'll do
you
that.
Answer that question, we will give you free tickets.
I'll comp that. I'll do that.
What is the pre-Teutonic word for the word word?
Eric Woodworth, a gentleman and a scholar. And you can follow us at Die Laughing Productions on Instagram so you will always know where all the shows are going to be.
Yeah, don't be a fucking twat about it. And while you're on the interwebs and you're answering these questions and you're listening to us,
looking for your dick pics,
you're pretending to work at work, okay?
Right.
The next time your boss walks by, you know you got a 5-minute window. What I want you to do is while you're listening to us on the iTunes right there, I want you to go in there and in the review section, go in there and give us a 5-star rating. You love us. You listen to us. We will read your 5-star review on the show. And heck, you might even get a special call from me or Jeremy.
Hey,
I'll tell you that much.
You don't even know.
I will tell you this. Our new policy is if you give us a 5-star review, we will go out of our way and we will contact you with a special message, either a phone call, a Facebook message, or something of that manner, where it will be a special thank you from us. You can talk to us. We'll chat with you for a couple minutes. And we'll give you a little bit of our time if you give us a 5-star rating. How about that, guys?
I will even bring a special mystery prize.
Ooh.
From something out of my refrigerator that I will be getting that I will be getting rid of, that my wife told me that I have to get rid of because it really smells.
Somebody's getting 6-month-old crab cakes, you lucky dog.
So definitely do that, guys. And oh my goodness, Jeremy.
Great balls of fire.
You sweet boy, you.
Sweet bird of youth.
I've been talking this up for like a month now.
Jeremy has been talking out of his ass for a while. And Jeremy and I recorded an album. I want nothing to do with it. Jeremy recorded an album.
Can we just take a second? Because that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I put at least $20,000 and all these musicians that I hired to go out into the studio and to do this. And really, more than anything, it was Kathy Griffith that really inspired me. Because Kathy Griffith went out of her way as a comedian to cut off Trump's head and to, you know, show that, you know, she's very politically active and that she wants to cut off our president's head and to show it and to show just how much she loves ISIS.
I feel like if she didn't use his decapitated head to make it look like she was giving herself head, she wasted her time and mine, quite frankly. Quite frankly.
First.
Okay. So we're going to give you a couple of little tidbits.
I'm so excited.
So let me just set this up. You know, ISIS has been getting a lot of bad press lately, you know?
Okay.
But, you know, because of Kathy Griffin, I think that ISIS needs, like, a good, you know, commercial value. Somebody needs to, like, you know, try to help sell ISIS.
Okay.
So this is why I spent all my money to try to help and promote ISIS. Because I feel like this is my first song in the album, the one that first came out to mind, because, you know, everybody should start loving ISIS. Everyone's hating to see you scumbag infidels. Everyone wants to see you destroyed in lakes of fire. Everyone's wondering why you worship other gods other than Allah and Muhammad. Everyone wants to kill all of you. Kill all of you! Everybody is beheading for the weekend!
Oh my god!
Everybody wants to kill some infidels! Everybody is going to get 72 virgins! Everybody needs to kill for Allah. Oh, I want 72 virgins. Yeah. And I'm going to get some.
Okay.
Wow.
All right,
Sold. That's sold.
Now, if that doesn't help ISIS, I don't know what will. You know? Really. And I think Loverboy would probably kill me with their guitars and drum set if they heard that. So, but that's the price you pay for Islam and Allah. So,
And that transitions to this other great hit off the new...
this is called The Lighter Side of ISIS.
Yeah, The Lighter Side of ISIS. The Lighter Side. Here's another cut from the new album.
Oh, can you stop it for a second?
Yeah, yes, hold on. Wait.
The name of the album is ISIS on the Cake.
So ISIS on the Cake. Check it out. It's dropping on iTunes any day now. Yeah. Here's another one from another hot track from the album.
Hating you is easy because you're infidels. Because you don't worship Allah and Muhammad. Because hating you has made me want to kill you bad with either a bomb or maybe a scimitar.
I never felt before like I know what soundtrack my children are going to be made to. So beautiful, so much heart in it.
I think we need to bring this back to serious ISIS music, because okay. That was just funny joking. This is 100% serious.
Okay.
Nobody loves Muhammad more than Rick Astley.
You can quote me on that.
We're no strangers to Sharia. You know all the rules and so do I. Full of commandments from Muhammad. You better wear your burqa or you'll die. I just want to make you be subjugated. Never let you read a book. Give you up. Never gonna let you drive. Never gonna let you learn how to read. No. Gonna have to wear a burqa. Gonna have to beat you down. And then going to kill someone and get 72 virgins.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I think it was very serious. So.
Oh, can we go back to one?
Can we
There's
please?
One part of the song right here. Wait.
Never let you read a book.
Wait.
Give you
wait,
up.
Wait, we're
there. Before that.
You be subjugated. Okay. I just want to make
right
you be subjugated.
I'm never going to let you subjugate. This is my favorite thing in the whole world is listening to Jeremy record.
Just want to make you be subjugated.
That's my favorite part. good times,
That's
good
great.
Times.
I just found out recently that the music video Bad Girls that MIA recorded, I don't know what country she recorded in it exactly, but whatever country it is, women are not allowed to drive. So there's a scene in one of one of the quick
Saudi Arabia.
It might be. There's a bunch of women in a car, and like it's a car that she kind of like she made this fabric, and like it's lining the seats, and then like it cuts back to them a couple times where they're in like the head scarves. You can't see anything but their eyes, but their hand is on the wheel, like they're like, I'm fucking driving. One of the takes when it cuts back is they have like AK-47s that they all just put in the air at the same time. Like, bitch, you are too hardcore. Yes. Yes.
Women with guns equals freedom.
Yes.
So, you know.
Kids with guns. Kids with guns.
Yeah,
kids
so.
With guns. Easy
kids
does guns. It. Easy does
so,
it.
Kids with guns.
I feel, Eric knows this final joke, that I really feel that this is really going to help sell ISIS and really help their cause.
ISIS on the Cake.
That
I love it.
You know, the final joke about how ISIS is against music, so...
They're just against, like, good stuff in life. Do they also hate apple pie?
I'm confused about what you're getting at, Jeremy.
You were supposed to give the final joke of how ISIS is just totally against music and they'll kill you even if you play music.
Oh, yeah. Even if you just play music, they'll fucking kill you anyway.
Well,
so,
fuck them. I did an album and I paid all this money. Fuck them.
I'd die for that. I love Bob Dylan. Try to take that away from me.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking American.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in a bomb in the wind.
My arms, my friend, are blowing in the wind. I stepped on a landmine, they're blowing in the wind.
Just for all you sensitive folks out there, we're not talking about all Muslims. Just like, you know, like,
yeah, chill out.
Like 99%. It's not a big deal. Like, I'm kidding. There's very peaceful Muslims out there, and you guys are good. I'm talking about the ones who are in, like, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, played by Morgan Freeman, okay?
With lots
he was
of
a very good
one.
Extremists.
Exactly. We're talking about the extreme ones.
You know what? Let's not even explain ourselves. You know what the fuck we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Stop pussyfooting around the fact that we're all adults here. Shut the fuck up and listen to what Eric has to say, which is, you're dumb.
No, I'm not talking about the fucking ones that live in Indonesia that are very peaceful. I'm
super
talking about
chill.
The piece of shit ones that are cutting people's heads off. Listen, there's piece of shit religious sects all over the world. Christianity.
Fact.
Goddamn champions of it, okay?
Yeah.
We're goddamn champions. Muslims are just trying to catch up and deal with it.
You know
okay?
what's a good example? If somebody was like, well, what do you mean, Christianity? What's a good example of how Christians are systematically oppressing people and hurting and killing them?
I don't know.
Here's my example.
Chick-fil-A.
The gay camps.
Yeah.
Where they try to de-gay you and they beat children and they tase them and they starve them and they put them in solitary confinement.
You have a good, like, if anything, you're having a good goddamn fuck fest over there at at gay camp, because guess what? You just suck a bunch of people that are into other dudes and chicks and you stuck them all in the same camp. It's basically a fucking J-date for fucking gay Christians over there.
Can
That's
that be
all I'm saying.
Jeremy's next album?
Exactly.
Gay camp.
Gay camp.
Gay camp.
Starring Jeremy Woodworth.
We're here at gay camp.
Here at the gay camp.
It's not summer camp.
Barry Manilow, after 60 years, finally came out.
Aw.
So what was the album called again, Jeremy? I'm sorry.
ISIS on the Cake.
ISIS on the Cake. Check
ISIS
it out.
On the cake.
It's dropping any day. Now, I got in trouble earlier today, guys.
Nice.
Truth be told, my wife, who was doing the laundry as she's supposed to,
doing her womanly duty.
She's a very good woman that I don't deserve, but she goes. She gives me the little turned up nose
Whoa.
Look. Looks at me and goes, there's a shirt on your bed that is a female shirt that I found in the laundry that it isn't mine.
Ruh-roh.
Thought you should know about it.
Okay.
And so I was just like, holy shit. She seems pissed at this. And I was like, listen, I immediately think about defending myself. I was like, well, I have nothing to defend because I haven't cheated on my wife.
Right.
Right. So, but she inferred that that was a thing that happened.
Sure.
So I immediately like disregarded it. I walked upstairs to see what this shirt was.
Well, what's all this?
And it's a small purple shirt that says like 3Com Cable or whatever. And it's just a regular t-shirt. And the second I saw it, I recognized what it was. And I was just like, oh, honey, are you worried about this? And at first I was just like, I mean, if it's a woman's shirt and it's here, it's probably Kim's because she's the only one that would leave a shirt that's a female.
Pretty much.
I don't know why the biggest thing is like, I talk to my wife when she says something, I was like, I don't know who you think would fuck me. Like, can't stand, you're the only one dumb enough to have sex with me. You understand
yeah.
that? Like,
most importantly,
nobody
here.
Else is going to fuck me. I'm not going to get Kim to fuck me. You understand that? And then, so I walk upstairs, I see the t-shirt, I immediately recognize what it was, and it's a free t-shirt that I got after a show that came in a tote bag from some upstart cable company that I decided to comically squeeze over my body after a show in DC and wear around like this, and people took some Instagram photos like and shit like that.
Honey, I'm not cheating on you, I'm a jackass.
Honey, I wore this tight shirt, and as soon as like, I told her that this was worn on my my body, she just immediately started laughing. She's like, because she understood. I was like, you understand what this shirt does to my body? It raises my shoulders so it looks like I'm in a permanent shrug and I can't move my arms. Like
fat guy in a little coat.
In a little shirt.
Love it.
So classic. It completely disarmed her immediately. But it was funny that she presented it in a way like, oh, you're fucking somebody else and I found their shirt. Like, and it wasn't a big deal. Like, it was just like, oh, you're just doing that. And yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, lady.
That's like when you have a mortgage. What do you take me for? Where she's like, well, I can't leave you, but I know what you're doing.
Exactly.
That was like the first time my wife found me cheating on her. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was like, look, at least she was 400 pounds. And I can't really say that I really had sex with a real orifice. I think I had sex with one of her flaps. So at that point, she's like, I'm sorry we don't have sex at least once a year. I'm sorry. So I got the pity. I got the pity, and that's all that I needed. So.
Nice. So
that's what I'm gonna play that card.
That was a.
That's what I'm gonna do is the pity card.
I'm just kidding. I don't have sex once a year.
try our wedding night, and that's it.
And
am I right?
And she was at least 600 pounds. So.
I last week, guys, I actually went to an Orioles game. It was my first one of the season.
How'd it feel?
It was good. We lost, which seems to be the Orioles' struggles. Yeah. Although, as of right now, they got on a little bit of a hot streak, so that's pretty exciting. And I hope the Orioles turn around their season, big O's fan. But I convinced the guy I went to the game with, who is a coworker of mine, that we needed to go to the Millstream Inn, which for our listeners outside of the Baltimore area, and maybe you're not familiar with, is actually a topless bar that is in the Security Square place that happened to be on our drive home. So we stopped in, and part of it was I've told many stories to my coworker about Chris Restivo.
Yes.
And Chris Restivo is a regular there. And I was just like, I guarantee if we go up there, we're going to see my boy Chris Restivo. And you got to see this guy because he looks like he's one of the elves from the Dark Crystal. So we rolled up there and I walk in and sure as shit, fucking clear as day, Chris Restivo is sitting right there.
There he is.
And
he
gets to meet him. I buy a couple drinks there, and they are straight vodka with a little bit of soda.
Oh,
heavy,
I hate that.
Heavy pours at the Millstream. And listen, I'm not going to ever be mad about it. I'll be disappointed, but
it's
I'm
so
not going to be mad.
I'd
be more mad if it was light on the liquor than if it's heavy.
Agreed.
A perfect drink, I'm not expecting at the Millstream Inn.
Sure.
So I'd rather you pour heavy and then give me a splash of soda and I'll figure it out and then the other outcome. But while I was there, I saw a very special lady who is infamous in the Baltimore comedy
scene.
Who
that was?
I saw Amanda Tracy.
Whoa.
Who, if you don't know as a listener, Amanda Tracy was a local comic who basically for about a year said that she had cancer.
And
she told everybody she had cancer. There were benefit shows that were thrown. And
she buzzed her hair.
She actually got a tattoo of the little ribbon for cancer on her arm, but not the cancer, like, oh, cancer awareness. Look, no, I was a cancer survivor tattooed on her. She went that far. And, guys, she never had cancer. Never at one point in her life has she had cancer yet.
Thankfully.
And spoiler alert, I went to the Millstream Inn. Still cancer free.
Nice.
I just wanted everybody to know that more than anything.
That's so great.
I must say she's like the best Andy Kaufman of all Baltimore comedy.
She is. It was the long joke on everyone.
I feel like lying about something like that earned you the karma points that you should probably die by having like a tooth infection. Like something really lame.
So
like what does Bob Marley die of? A cancerous toe.
Right, his toe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was
well, actually he died because of the lack of surgical treatment because of his religious beliefs, but the toe is what did it. Yeah.
Now I remember I remember T. Brad, he actually threw a cancer benefit show for Amanda Tracy.
It benefited cancer,
and
yes.
It did. It did benefit cancer. Listen, none of the money actually went to her. She was actually had the wherewithal to say, no, I have a good support system, even though she had no cancer at all. And she said, this should just go to cancer research. And I remember being at a show with T. Brad, and I was just like, listen, Brad, I have no basis for this at all. I have nothing. I have nothing that I'm basing this on. But I'm just saying, I would not be surprised if she just didn't have cancer. Yeah. And that was a truthful statement that I made at that time. And sure as shit, I ended up being a goddamn prophet, because that was 100% accurate, ultimately. And I can honestly say, out of all the infamous people, I mean, we've had Dave Schofer on the show before. We've had some other people. Amanda Tracy is the only person who's ever done something in the local scene where people actually wished cancer upon her. Like, that's never happened. You understand? That's unprecedented.
But here's the thing. Here's what's even more unprecedented about it. They didn't just wish cancer on her. They wished the cancer on her that she said she had and didn't. That's a big part of that. Like,
right?
That would be like if I was like, guys, I'm going to Jamaica, and then never went, and people would wish I got to go on said vacation. I hope you have the disease you lied about having.
Yeah, that's fucking horrible.
That's crazy.
Kim, I wish you'd go to Jamaica someday.
Oh my God, Jeremy, I hope you die in a house fire.
But I
deserve it. I deserve die in a house fire.
I did.
With all the children that I molest, so, you know.
What if you die in a house fire while you're in Jamaica on vacation with me, buddy?
Yeah! Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah!
Woo! I did.
Jesus,
I had a major belch there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is friendship nauseating to you?
It's been a long
I'm sorry.
Ride of drinking, everybody. I did walk up to Amanda Tracy, and I walked up to her, and I was just like, Amanda, I just want you to know, like, I don't hate you. I know. I truthfully said that because
it's always a good start.
She unfriended me on all of social media that we had contact with, and I was just like, I want you to know, I truthfully don't hate you. I actually think I hope you're getting better more than anything, and it was really funny. She was like, you know, I am doing a lot better. By the way, last time I talked to her, she wasn't wearing a strip club. So but she immediately said, I'm doing a lot better now. But apparently she has a 2-year-old kid that she's had in these last 2 years, who I'm sure is going to grow
up. And
he's
a real kid, right? He's actually hers.
He's a real kid. I saw pictures. I saw more pictures of her kid than I saw of her cancer. So I believe that she's in care of. And,
can I ask the important question? Was he black?
No, he wasn't. He was not black. And he was a very white child, and very lovely and healthy. And I'm very happy for Amanda Tracy. Yes. And I'm happy that she's getting, hopefully, her life back together, which is the most important part.
Can I give my real 2 cents? Is that the last time I saw her was at the Baltimore Tattoo Convention when she got a tattoo a little bit above her tit.
Was it the cancer one?
No, it wasn't the cancer tattoo, but that was the last time I saw her. So,
well,
and I think it was already blown open long since then, and it was still like not a big deal to me because I didn't even know.
Because so. I was done with that.
I'm a moron.
Jeremy, I spent yesterday a good chunk of my day, because I've been working on some video projects that are going to be coming out in the next year or so. And I wrote an entire script for you called Vietnam Tom's America, which is based completely on your character, Vietnam Tom. Can you give us a little Vietnam Tom just so we can familiarize our audience with it?
Hello, I'm Vietnam Tom. I'm from Vietnam, and my real name is Thomas.
You're the worst.
I hate you more than anything. Thank you. I make a plug for something that we're making, and you immediately
shit on it.
It's
actually based off Thomas the train. The Thomas train thing, which the children love. Although he has flashbacks and he likes to wear necklaces full of cut-off fingers.
I want to be mad, but I just should have expected it. Anyway, Vietnam Tom is a character that of Jeremy's creation that is my favorite character that he refuses to do for me, no matter how much I beg him. And I wrote an entire short, basically a short series of webisodes, and I finally wrote out all of episode one. I sent it to Jeremy. I emailed him, and I was just like, "Hey, can you give this a read over?" Jeremy comes here today. I was like, "Hey, did you read it over?" And Jeremy's response is like, "Yeah, I read it. It was really good. It was really good." And I was like, "So what did you think?" And I mean, I look him in the eyes like, "I'm sorry, I didn't read it at all. I did. I clicked on it once, and I couldn't open the file, and I gave up. And I was like, well, I'm glad you put in the work to really
that thing you made all about me and my creativity that I've dedicated myself to. Didn't read it.
But you understand,
too long. Didn't read.
He went from yeah, I read it to yeah, I did nothing other than click a single time. And then lie to you, and then immediately tell you, oh, yeah, I did that. That was a thing that I did. So,
but at least he wasn't like, oh, I totally read it. I love that part where all the Jews die.
It's only because I'm a bad person. Or as my wife would say, oh, you were supposed to clean up that last weekend, and the weekend before that, and the weekend... You're a lazy fucking pig, which she's dead on right about that. So,
when you're right, you're right. Hey, when you're right, you're right.
What are you going to say?
Not a whole lot. It just disappointed me. So
I did put an effort to actually open up the file, and it didn't work. And so that's it. So.
And the end. So, Kim, you're having some trouble with your mic there.
I'm just getting my life together, you guys.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
She gets it
making
to
sure.
Maximum efficiency and comfortability.
Yep. Nailed it.
Now you're slumped in that seat, though. You should slumped.
I feel like a winner.
Should we just give the whole episode to Kim getting laid?
Yeah, man. Let's go there. Rather than talk about things that aren't happening, let's talk about things that are happening.
Let's talk about things that people really care about.
Give the people what they want.
Young comedians' sex lives. So,
hey, man, you're going to die one day. Just do you.
I do me because I don't do it with my wife. So. I'm disgusting.
Guys, I wrote a new joke this week.
I'm excited about this. I'm very excited about
this. I mentioned this on the show prep portion. I wrote a joke that is very gallows humor in a very literal sense, and it's bad. It's a bad joke.
Yay.
It's a joke. It's a joke I'll never
to the gallows pole.
Well, I wrote as you guys know in the news this week, Chester from Linkin Park hung himself this week, which is, you know, whatever you have
or
to say.
Did he?
Whatever you have to say about Linkin Park's music or otherwise, it's very sad, and mental illness is a serious thing, and you shouldn't make fun of it.
But
I totally did. And I wrote this joke. See, this is the worst part, is presenting a joke in a fashion that you can all, here, this is the joke, and now dissect it. That's
right.
The worst way to ever present one, right?
Agreed.
It's awful that no human should hear, but now you're about to hear it.
But part of it is, like, I want you to understand the dark places that my mind goes during a single week.
Take
so
me there.
I wrote this little ditty earlier this week after Chester died, and I said, you know, God damn it. I mean, white people, I mean, we have Chris Cornell, Robin Williams, and Chester from Linkin Park that all hung themselves in the last year. And I mean, that's fucking sad, you know? I mean, it's like, can white people appropriate anything else from black people?
Oh, that's pretty bad.
I told you, it's the worst. It's the worst thing I've ever written, and I hate myself for it. And I'm sorry.
I'm gonna lighten this up and totally obliterate what you just said, because I have my own theory about his death, and this is something that nobody else has brought into it. And I think that Keith Carradine is behind his hanging and actually killed him.
You mean David Carradine?
Yeah, David Carradine.
Thank you. Keith Carradine.
I mean,
Keith
Carradine. No, the Revenge of the Nerd guy.
Yeah.
He's the one that
yes,
killed him.
Yes,
So, yeah.
So what do you guys take of this? Have you seen the rumors on the dirt sheet websites over the internet that say that Chester and Chris Cornell were both murdered because the theory stands right now that they were murdered because they were trying to uncover a child molestation ring in Hollywood?
It's possible. I mean, you'd have to provide me evidence that they were attempting to do that.
Question. There is none.
Nice. Answer, same.
What if they were both murdered by the guy behind the grassy knoll?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that guy is crazy. He's good,
though. He kills everybody.
Yeah. He's good at what he does.
He actually shot Reagan and then hid behind Hinckley, and nobody ever knew. Yeah, so, I mean...
And then I can't believe they killed Reagan like right after she made The Exorcist. I mean, that's a horrible thing.
I just feel like they need to stop taking really important people near grassy knolls. It's just not working out. Just avoid the knolls.
Listen, if I was the goddamn president, I wouldn't even get close to Beyonce Knowles, much less any grassy one.
Way to pull it in with that last name knowledge, buddy. Yes. Way to pull it in.
Degrassi.
You know when you hear a reference in your head and you're so excited that you're like, I'm gonna fuck this up. I'm gonna say something wrong, but I feel like I nailed that one.
What if it was Tyson Degrassi?
Then I would say, sir, you think...
Typhoid Degrassi?
Typhoid.
You think the earth is not flat, so already I have a problem with you.
I've known lots of girls that are flat, hence I believe in the flat earth.
There it is. There's Vietnam Tom.
There he is.
I came in eventually after 240s of Colt 45.
Oh, thank God, Tom.
The band, the drink to drink when you're one to be from Vietnam.
What else is there on here? I bought a new guitar this week, guys.
I saw that.
Can I bring it down? Do you have enough time to kill?
I mean, I could pause it. In the meantime, we could just kill time until you bring it down. But Jeremy, there's no point in this. There's no point in this.
It was for Kim.
I saw the video.
It was for Kim.
I saw the video on your Instagram.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Gnar. Straight gnar, bro.
Yeah, I bought that thing. And so I made a Facebook marketplace purchase of this guitar because I saw it for sale. And I had been eyeing up this particular model on a couple of different websites. And I saw this guy's post and he had shitty pictures. And I was a little bit...
skeptical?
I was skeptical, to say the least. It got to the point where he finally sent me his address to go pick this thing up, and I sent my wife a screenshot of it. I was like, these are my last known whereabouts, just so you know. Because I'm a little bit worried. And so,
in the woods of Carroll County.
And it was kind of near my house, between where Jeremy and I live. So I drove over there, and I get up there, and he lives in a barn, like, on a giant farm. So
solid.
It's secluded. So, also, I'm still very
nervous.
Let
me guess who he didn't vote for.
Bernie Sanders.
Wild guest.
And I get up there, and he's a little shaky fella, and... probably not an inch over 5 foot tall.
Okay.
If not 4'11". So yeah, but not if he's got a shit ton of guns, right?
Fair,
like so
fair.
I come in, and he's like, go ahead down. I know this is probably weird because you're here or whatever, blah blah blah. He's making it creepy, right? Like he acknowledges that this is a weird exchange between two human beings. And I walk downstairs and it seems pretty legit. And he shows me the guitar, and I plug it in, and I play it, and it's fucking beautiful. It's an LTD EC-1000. It just sounds fucking gorgeous. Like, all the notes that come out of it are just... It's a very beautiful guitar.
EMG pickups.
The nice EMG pickups, which are just, for the guitar people out there, they're not the nicest pickups in the whole world, but goddamn, they pick up everything.
But
they're
also active in electronics where you need to plug in a 9-volt battery into the guitar.
Yeah, you gotta have a 9-volt battery that actually runs the pickups.
Whereas with cheap guitars, you put that 9-volt battery to power the speaker that's on the front of the guitar. So.
Exactly. So, but the whole time I'm there, he's like, he tells me he's in the Air Force and he has a whole recording studio downstairs, but he talks about all his PTSD, and I'm just like, And this is just me. I was like, dude, you were in the Air Force. Like, what theater of war did you see that was so horrible that, yeah, like, you're worried about death all
what
the time?
What shape,
like,
cloud did you see that bothered you?
I get Marines. I get Marines. I get Army. I don't get the dude who's in the Air Force. I mean, like, I've met Air Force people. They're fucking smart dudes that, like, do stuff. I mean, this guy, I don't know what he saw, and I didn't get into it, but when he told me he was Air Force, I was like, what PTSD are you dealing with, dude? Like, but at the same time, I can't really judge, because I've never been to the theater of war,
sure,
except to go to a base to make dick jokes. So I take myself back. Maybe this guy's seen some crazy shit, and he definitely had that look in his eyes, and I don't know if you guys who are listening have seen this, but the guy, when you look at him, his pupils are way too big, and when you look at him, he has that thousand-mile stare, so he looks like he's staring through you, and when, yeah, you look at him, you feel like you can see the back of his head, which means it has that, like, he has a very murdery face to him, like, that is a little uncomfortable, but he made me feel very comfortable at the same time, because I'm into damaged people. Damaged people are
you
cool
and
to me
both.
So.
Didn't I say I'm getting laid a lot lately?
By the way, this guy is definitely on the Kim Ambrose fuckability scale. He's right there.
Right
let
there.
Me,
yes.
Let me let you know that.
How
right
many
away.
Teeth does he still have?
He has all of his teeth.
Whoa. Yeah,
he's got tats up the ass. Like, he's a good looking dude. So
Kim's top five things to look for in a man. Does he have the 1,000-mile stare?
Yes, 1,000-mile stare and at least one tuxedo.
His soul is already stolen. It's fair game.
Can you consider it stolen if you give it to Satan, though?
I don't
it's not
think
really
he can.
Stolen if you
I
give it away.
I don't think he can.
Can we talk about for a second how funny, yeah, the Will Ferrell sketch is when he pretends to be the devil and he's trying to get, yeah, Chris Gaines to sell him his soul? I've been talking about this for 3 weeks and I
Fred
can't get
Slacks.
Enough of Fred Slacks on the Boulevard. Yes. My guitar is out of tune. It's my favorite. I love it so much.
Well, now you've heard the ISIS album.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
One thing we left
on
out.
On the highways, on the byways, Mr. Robotron. I don't know. I think it's a humidity in here. It's a humidity in here. Is it messing with the guitar?
Okay, had we gone a little bit further with the ISIS album, we would have gone to If You Like Pina Coladas, would have been If You Like Muhammad and Sharia.
Nice. If you like Muhammad Sharia, boom, so. Boom, boom. Getting stoned if you're gay. Boom, boom, boom.
So, yeah.
Oh, I need that to happen in my life.
It writes itself. So,
guys, speaking of local morbid comedy, there has been a recent controversy in the Baltimore comedy scene. I say Baltimore, but this wasn't a Baltimore man. He was actually out of Richmond, Virginia. Mm. And this gentleman
Home of Guar.
Was actually brought up on child molestation charges.
Whoa.
A Virginia comic. He goes by the name of Guilty Until Proven Innocent, but... it's some pretty damning stuff that came out. I'm trying to load the page as we speak. I'm hoping somebody saves me while this is happening. It is not happening right now.
So, Kim, tell us about your getting laid. All
right. Yeah, while we look up this molester. Great segue. I've been having a lot of adult consensual sex that is completely adult and completely consensual.
Well, there you lost me.
It's conceptual.
If you have some sort of pills or some non-consensuality, can't you at least some sort of weird fetish of touching feet or something?
There's plenty of weird fetishes, but it's all consensual, so I'm sorry.
Boring.
Sorry to disappoint. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let me tell you stories about sex with myself.
Virginia.
And then my mom comes in the room.
The Virginia comic's name is Charles Ellis, and
okay.
Charles Ellis was a is a comedian based out of Richmond, Virginia. I was not friends with him on Facebook. I feel like I've run into him at least one time in my life, doing comedy, obviously, in the same area as him. He looks like he was into a lot of nerdy stuff. But as the police report or the news report goes, is that they had traced an I basically somebody from an IP address was talking to an undercover cop who mm-hmm. said he was into child pornography, and they exchanged a bunch of conversations, and eventually the person sent him a video that was child porn. They traced the IP address back to the house where it happened. They go there and it ended up being Charles's house, and when they examined him and his Facebook pictures and stuff like that, they realized that a ring that was seen in the video, which was on his left index finger, was also the same ring that you can see in like his Facebook pictures and stuff like that.
Whoa.
So he basically is a child molester and was caught red-handed and arrested this week.
Red rings.
And
it's just a shame that like people in bands are doing what child molesters should be doing. That's sad to me. That's what's really sad here.
So it's very sad that somebody puts a stain on the local comedy scene in the Mid-Atlantic here. But moreover, you know, you can't take off the ring. I mean, it's
sense
very,
of pride.
It's very
they
bad,
have egos,
you know?
And partially they want to get caught because they're fucked up and they need help.
Yeah,
and it's like that special tattoo when you're doing the snuff film. You know,
yeah.
She still hasn't seen 8mm yet. Only good Nick Nolte film that you can deal with. So.
Okay.
Nick Cage movie.
Nick Cage, not Nick Nolte.
Nick Cage.
What's the difference? Nick Nolte, Nick Cage.
Right. Both equally deplorable.
It was funny.
I'm gonna get Gantz and then I become the Ghost Rider. So.
I know Jeremy so well that when he makes a stupid reference and mishandles the name,
you know.
I know the actual person he means. So Nick Nolte is Nicolas Cage.
Okay. Nicolas Cage was really great in 48 Hours.
Him
with Eddie Murphy, they were great. So.
That was it. So, it is kind of sick. Honestly, not the worst set I've ever seen. Not the worst set I've ever seen in the local comedy scene, by far. You know, if he signed up for a room, I wouldn't disbar him until proven guilty.
If you don't have a comic that's like a normal pedophile, I mean, that's not even a normal comedy night, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, that's just like old regulars, whatever. So.
I was thinking about that today. I was like, I have the strangest thoughts at the strangest times. I was pulling into a parking spot and I thought to myself, I've been finding out recently that a lot of people, more and more people I know, have experience of being molested as children. And it makes me think, like, all y'all need to check your friends. All you adults, if you have 10 friends, one of those motherfuckers, there's a chance. Just check them.
Yeah, yeah.
Check your friends. You don't fucking know.
Check your friends before you wreck your friends.
Right. Forest fires. Check your friends. See who's a pedophile.
I'm so like freaked out being a father that like I go out of my way not to be perceived as a fucking pederast. You understand? Like
I would say,
like even when I,
you shouldn't worry about what you're doing. You should be concerned with what other people are doing. Like, who the fuck are you? Why are you next to my kid in the grocery store? What are you doing?
I hate to say that it really bothered me more than anybody else that I think was Pete Townsend from The Who was caught with pornography on his computer. And I think he got out of it and he said that he was like, well, he was researching real pedophiles and he got out of it. But at the same time, it hurt me so bad. It's like, not Pete Townsend. No. Yeah. I mean, Gary Glitter, fuck him. You know, fuck anybody else, but not Pete Townsend. No.
Well, so. There's people that are attracted to young especially famous people. I mean, there's lots of rumor and innuendo about the Hollywood elite and the also elites of our country that are involved with child sex rings. I mean, it's
Elijah Wood came out and talked about it.
Elijah Wood has talked about it. A lot of child starlets have talked about it.
Worst of all, Jimmy Page, I think, locked up a 14-year-old in a hotel for a couple days.
Yeah,
I mean, a groupie. So.
There's a lot of shit that goes down that, you know, doesn't get reported because you're a child. You just don't understand how to even talk about, is this even a bad... You don't know that this is even a bad thing that's emotionally going to scar you for the rest of your life, much less how to even put the words together to describe it to somebody. You
and
know?
It's only
horrible.
Been till recently that we had laws to protect victims who came forward. We didn't have that before.
And when you're rich and powerful, it's easy to get away with it because, you know what? Oh, people say shit about me all the time. I mean, some of the most disgusting people in the whole world. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read about the lead singer from the Lost Prophets. Have you ever read about his
I was
shit?
Being informed about that.
He's one of the most deplorable human beings you can ever read about. Ugh. When you read about what he actually... the texts and stuff that were discovered, and not to scar our listenership too much, but long story short, he basically convinced one of his fans, who was also underage when he met her at 16, who had a child, then to be able to molest this child at like 9 months old, and the text between both of them saying, hey, if you're mine, then he's also mine. Like, he's just the most deplorable human being. It goes so far as that his password to get onto his computer was I fuck kids. Like, he's that of a deplorable piece of shit. So
I like the idea of him spelling it out to someone like they wouldn't catch what it like I
exactly
F like, you
if you want to have nightmares for a couple days about the lowest form of human beings on the fucking planet, look up the lead singer from the Lost Prophets police report and the sentencing from the judge. There, it's very well documented, and it's the kind of stuff that makes you feel like murdering people is okay. That's,
you know, if that's
pretty much what
you're
it
into.
Is. So,
you wake up, you have your coffee, you feel like murdering people.
But then on the other hand, there's also people like R. Kelly. R. Kelly is in the news right now. Yes. R. Kelly has
again
supposedly has basically a cult of women living at his house
consensually.
Consensually,
allegedly,
are there, or
consensual
women
money.
Who are women that he met who are very young and were probably he met before they were 18 that live there in a cult-like status where if men come in the door, they are to face the wall and not look at them or talk to them. They're cut off from all of their family. They're basically his, in no nice ways to put it, his possessions more than anything else, and it's
and
pretty
that,
disgusting,
and that's terrible. But I gotta give those girls something smart. They never have to go to a family holiday again.
Exactly.
I feel like they're playing their cards right on that one.
I feel when the truth comes out, she's like, I feel like the next Sheila E., like, my career will take off, but he says he's gonna have to pee on me a couple more times before my career will really take off.
Yeah,
so.
But do you want to have to hear Aunt Tina talk more about Trump at Thanksgiving? That's all I'm saying. I'll face a wall.
Well, you understand, R. Kelly has legitimately been to trial for child pornography when he pissed on a 16-year-old girl in a video, which is, if you look on the internet, if you search for it, you're immediately a child pornographer. But I remember being under 18 years old and being stupid looking up this video, and I found it and I've seen it, and you don't see any nudity, but it's a girl in a hot tub getting fucking pissed on in the face by a guy that looks like fucking R. Kelly, and the only reason he got off is because his lawyers convinced
don't
the
say
jury.
Got off.
Can you give me a little reverb?
I can't, but I can give you a post.
Okay,
post
give me
edit.
A little post. Alright, here it goes. Your body is a pole to potty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
I'm R. Kelly.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
But the only reason he got off, other than peeing on her, was that he convinced his lawyers that the lawyers convinced the jury that that was not, they couldn't prove that that was R. Kelly. But that's the only thing. You couldn't prove that was the...
An underage girl got peed on. With that, we know.
Yeah, an underage girl got peed on, but the only reason he got off is because standard definition cameras were the only thing that existed at that time. You understand that?
And wasn't he wearing a mask?
That's the only thing. Yeah, he was wearing a mask, but it was like a Zorro mask. Yeah. It wasn't, you can hear somebody say, hey, R, what's going on? You pissing on that bitch or what? Like, it's fucking horrible.
Yes,
thing.
I, R. Kelly, am pissing on this girl right
it
here.
It was a mask. It could have been any black man.
And let's not forget, there's a famous interview with, I'm not sure if the guy was with MTV News or BET or what have you, but he asked, he was just like, do you like underage girls? He was just like, define underage. Like, that's not...
You mean Delaware underage?
Yeah.
And so he rephrased it to teenage girls. It was like, how old's teenage? I was just like, I get it. There's only one year that defines a legal teenage year. It's 18, right? So
that's like when somebody 18 dieting.
And 19, right? So
there's 12, and there's the first number with a teen in it, known as 13.
So, R. Kelly is a fucking child molester, and he's got off for years. I mean, it's not even a question is if he's a child molester. He is a child molester.
Right.
It's documented. He has fucking had his dick in front of and pissed on a 16-year-old child. There's no question about that. He's dating a woman now who is 19 years old, who has been with him for longer than that amount of time. He married Aaliyah when Aaliyah was 16 years old.
Right.
He clearly is a molester. I mean, there's no question about it. It's been documented over and over again. And the real question is he worse than Bill Cosby or not as bad as Bill Cosby at this point?
I feel like Bill Cosby's worse because there was no level of consent. Even if these girls, if you make the argument of statutory, right, like they're consenting, but they're not old enough to decide what is actually what they want to do or not. They're feeling pressure from a celebrity, you know, like they almost can't say no, which they can. Mm-hmm. But according to the law, if you are a certain age, you are not able to consent. So they take that decision for you. Now, those girls remember what happened to them that we know of. They're consenting. I did hear that investigators went to R. Kelly's house where all these girls are and talked to all of them, and all of them were like, nah, we're good. Like, if we want to go home, we'll fucking go. Like, we're good. You know, do I agree with that? Do I think that's what's best for their life? No. But it's better than waking up and being like, I have no idea where I am or how I got here, and Bill Cosby fucked me.
What if your jokes were so good that women under 16 wanted to fuck you, though? Like there's no, like, I get our, like, let's step away.
I'd be
see
like,
the
bitch,
forest
you
from
raised
the tree.
Right.
Let's see the forest for the trees. It's the big difference between comedy and music, right? Like, there's no comedian who's so funny you were like, God damn it, I'm under 18, but I gotta fuck this guy,
no,
right?
Dude.
That doesn't exist,
they're
right?
Not, it doesn't exist.
There's no
because...
joke that's so funny. You're not, there's no way you're so hilarious that there is a 16-year-old girl that would like to fuck you, right?
But no, there's not. They go for your money. He's on TV.
Like, if I get to be, like, so big as a comedian or an actor, and I have, like, all these contractors around my house, I'd be like, none of these motherfuckers actually have licenses. They're building shit over here. I'm getting so much illegal shit contracted around my house. Fuck the government. I'll fucking have shit totally unlicensed. Fuck that.
I wish I could fuck the government. Like, I wish I could, like... I wish I could just do something and it would make them feel like, oh, that was awesome.
I'm just my way of like being rebellious against law, but against laws that are just weird regulatory laws, not like sexual laws.
Have you ever
anything.
Looked up those laws that are like state by state laws that they never got rid of, where it's like in Florida, you can't pick up dog shit in the same hand that like you're wearing a watch? Or like in Tennessee, like you're not allowed to have an ice cream cone in your pocket.
If one hand has a hand on a donkey at the same time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
More important, I think Delaware had like the lowest age of consent of like 12 for the, longest time.
Like, dude, she's 13. She's thought long and hard about this and she wants to marry this 45-year-old man. What is the problem?
When your laws... when your laws are shittier than the state that produced Wrong Turn and Deliverance, there's a goddamn problem.
Now, Eric, I think you beat me to the when you mentioned Bill Cosby, because I thought, what an awesome tour, the Bill Cosby R. Kelly tour.
And it's called
of underage.
It's called No One Would Have Us, but we don't give them a choice.
Who do you think is the most
sold out?
Who's the most infamous black celebrity that in history?
I don't know why is I was it, just like Jax from Mortal Kombat.
Is it Michael Jackson, alleged child molester?
Mm-hmm.
Is it R. Kelly, alleged child molester, if we're being honest? Never went to jail for it. Is it Bill Cosby? Pretty much a rapist for the most part, alleged though, still. Or is it O.J. Simpson, a definite, almost 90% a murderer, convicted criminal, but now free? Who is the most, who's the most infamous of all the,
I'm gonna
the black
say,
celebrities?
I'm going to say it's O.J. because I'm going to defer to the Hunter S. Thompson quote, the greatest sin is stupidity. You're not a criminal unless you get caught.
I just wish that I had a white daughter so I could introduce her to OJ as soon as she gets out. And I'm going to get the biggest life insurance policy out for her.
And just wait
gonna
be for
rich.
A murderer.
I'm going to be rich.
It's hard to tell who's worse. I mean, if I had to put him... that's the Mount Rushmore of black infamy celebrities right there. I mean, I'd say Michael Jackson is the least of all of them, even though supposedly there are reports that when they raided the Neverland Ranch and they found child pornography and naked pictures of children, it was somehow swept under the rug, a la the same way the documentary The Keepers swept the child molestation and child pornography that was found for that. But then, I mean, you're left with R. Kelly, who I get it. I get why he... Somehow he gets a pass in our society, much like Michael Jackson, because I feel like people, much like even Dave Chappelle, tried to put it to the forefront where he said, when I was 16, I knew if I was old enough to know if I didn't want to get pissed on,
mm-hmm.
which is a funny joke. But at the same time, it's illegal. It's
right.
illegal to fucking piss on a 16-year-old,
yes.
right? Like,
yes.
yeah, that's illegal, right?
If,
there's no questions about that.
If I would speak up for Daywood Shabazz.
Thank you. You should. You are the voice of the black community on our show. 100%.
Let me speak up for blacks. That, no matter what black celebrity or black serial killer, they don't have like the special creativity that, say, John Wayne Gacy would have to wear clown makeup and dress up as a clown, or Ted Bundy to have like an arm cast to try to get his victims into his VW bug, or say Charles Manson to have his whole gathering to do his killings for him. You know, it's like blacks don't step it up like evil white people do.
Actually,
so.
I don't know. The one guy who was the guy in Georgia who killed all those kids was pretty bad.
He was just a one guy, and he wouldn't have been caught had he not had a cop under a bridge to find the body falling into the river.
Yeah.
So.
Also, a lot of black crimes, for example, serial killers who murder prostitutes, black on black crime in that way, they call that the less dead, because you're not going to spend a lot of time looking for the killer of a black prostitute as you are looking for the killer of a young white girl. It's just a fact. So our statistics are off because our investigations aren't given enough resources to continue investigating certain cases because people just don't care.
And
it's
just
fucked up, but that's...
I just want to say, Kim, that's not Reich.
So hence I say white superiority with creativity and more evil.
Yeah, we win at evil. Just let us have it. Just let us have it. We're not giving
white.
You a choice.
Stop trying to fight with white people and being more evil and creative and killing.
It's like I say, white ain't right.
It's
white
not like
ain't
you're
right.
gonna make like, you know, gas showers any day or anything. Jeez.
Exactly.
Gas showers.
That's what we're doing.
Let's just say how much we love Jews again tonight. Can we just give a shout out to Jews?
We can say that.
I guess we can close out the episode with this, guys. We talked about earlier on a lighter note because we've gotten into some. We got into a real dark place.
We went worse than last podcast on the left.
We got into some real dark places tonight.
Yeah, come see Jeremy as Pogo the Clown in the new Halloween Die Laughing Productions.
No one loves a clown that loves children more than me.
We talked about movies that you liked. So movies that you've watched that other people have universally shat upon. Okay?
Shat upon, yes.
And I have a movie that I'll be honest with you, I love this movie. I love this movie to death.
Don't be ashamed.
I watched its sequel first, and I watched the original second. And I love the movie Magic Mike. I will say it right now.
Yeah,
I will
do.
Say it in boldly in front of everybody. Magic Mike is a goddamn great film. It's about you know what? When you really watch it and you really look at it, it's about a goddamn good-looking guy named Channing Tatum who goes out there and he dances his ass off every single night, and he's just trying to make a come up. He's just trying to make a come up.
He's just trying to make come up.
He's just a young, very privileged white man trying to make it in this world. And God damn it if I don't love that fucking movie. And I watched part two first. Double XL. I watched Double XL first. And then it was so good. It was so good that I was just like, well, now I gotta watch the original. It was coming on right after that. I was like, I gotta watch the original Magic Mike. And it was somehow so much better than the second one. And it's universally shat on. And you know what? I will defend it with tooth and nail. Magic Mike is a great movie.
Nice.
Fight me about it.
Come at me, bro. Jeremy, what's yours?
I don't know. If they say they hate a movie, I'll just agree with them because I'm a pussy. No, no, I will speak up for The Human Centipede, which by far I put above any Quentin Tarantino film and any Christopher Nolan film and any Kubrick film and any Fellini film.
And Woody Allen.
Any Woody Allen film and a Fellini film and Sergio Leone.
Jeez Louise, Papa Cheese.
And the only movie that would be better than Human Centipede? Brain Damage by
Human Centipede 2.
Hennen Lotter. So, Brain Damage. So,
Kim, you had a very interesting pick for this.
Yeah, because I love this movie because it there's nothing like it. It came out at an interesting time where there was no reason for it. It's not like a lot of movies like this were coming out. I saw it in the movie theater with a bunch of friends. I fucking love the movie Wild Wild West.
What?
Come at me. Come at me, bro. Okay? First of all, black superhero. Black guy is the lead in the fucking most racist time in history. The fucking Wild Wild
Kevin
West.
Kevin Klein.
And Kevin fucking Klein. Who doesn't love Kevin Klein? Get the fuck out of here. I love Kevin Klein. You get to see Selma Hayek's butt, which is enjoyable. And there's a giant metal fucking spider. And it's cool as shit. And I don't know how they decided they were going to put laser cannons, or not lasers, but fucking exploding cannons on it, but they did it. And they blew up a frontier town from a spider. And you know what? That's fucking awesome. I saw that movie at the drive-in.
Wouldn't you say it's one of the top steampunk films of all
time? Oh, 110%.
I like
110%.
I like how much Tommy Simbazo, when you bring up Tommy Simbazo, friend of the show, also part of Die Laughing Productions.
What?
I love bringing up steampunk and then saying, oh yeah, like in the Wild Wild West. That's a great film. You know, you love that. That's your thing? You like it a
He's
lot?
Like, shut up.
Whatever.
I love that movie.
It's a bad movie.
It's
but
so
God
bad.
Damn it.
My favorite part in the movie is when Will Smith and I think his name is Ken something, the guy that plays the dude in the wheelchair, the bad guy with the crazy awesome facial hair. You know what I'm talking about?
No, because
black
I watched
hair.
The movie a single time and I realized that I never needed to
remember
watch
it
again.
Well, they're
no,
like,
no, no, no. I've never seen him in another movie though. I see his face,
right?
But
he's
not he's in
so
anything
good,
else.
Though. But there's a part where him and Will Smith are talking to each other and they just keep doing like slurs back and forth. Like he's in a wheelchair and he's like, "Man, I haven't seen you in a coon's age." And he's like, oh, you know, I see you hanging out with women, beautiful women around you. Gotta be careful because they'll love you one minute and cut the legs out from under you the next. I just love that. That whole scene is so great.
Oh, racism. It's the best.
Can I hate to say that if I ever had the money close enough to redo Star Wars, but do it steampunk.
Oh my God.
And so Darth Vader, every time he breathes, has this enormous amount of steam coming out of his fucking outfit. And the moment when they're about to blow up Alderaan and all this steam's like, we have to get enough steam to blow up Alderaan. They shoot it with fucking steam.
You take it really literal on the steam end of steampunk. Where's the punk side?
Yeah.
Where's the rebellion?
No, it's a long time ago.
They're rebels.
The greatest part of technology is using steam. I mean, that's clearly the end all. So.
Clearly.
Oh gosh.
Oh yeah.
Star Wars, the steampunk version.
So what's your guys' answer? Write in and tell us,
Eric.
What's a movie that you get shit on for liking?
Motherfucker.
Yeah, what's the movie that is universally shat upon that you just find to be the greatest piece of cinema? Share it with us on the Facebook page. It's Quality Time with Eric and Jer on Facebook.
And
look
Kim.
Us up.
Which I prefer to be called Kim with Eric and Jer.
Yes,
if
exactly.
If you try to tell me that Dances with Wolves isn't one of the best movies ever made, I will literally punch you in the taint. Hard.
Kimberly, where can people find you at?
You can find me at Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram, at Die Laughing Productions on Instagram. The second Saturday shit show at the Auto Bar is free upstairs the second Saturday of every month. And every single Monday at the Judge's Bench in Ellicott City.
And you can find all things Eric and comedy at Eric with a K, comedy with a C, .com, ericcomedy.com. Come see us at the Baltimore Comedy Factory the 11th and 12th of August. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful night and God bless.
Quality Time, mediocre.